is in Book of Luke, chapter 7. But today we are going to read another lady. Her story is given in Matthew, chapter 26, verses 6 to 13, Mark, chapter 14, verses 3 to 9, and John, chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. So now we are going to study this because some people get mixed up with the Luke chapter 7 story with Matthew, Mark, and John story. So today we are going to see the difference. The scripture we are reading today from Matthew, Mark, and John. Luke did not write this story, the story we are going to read today. He wrote the story about the lady who kissed the Jesus' feet, and so he did not write about the story we are going to read. Matthew, Mark, and John, but we have selected the chapter, Mark chapter 14, and please read from verses 3 to 9. From Mark chapter 14, verses 3 to 9.
And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment and spikenard very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever will ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her.
This woman's name is not given here. Other lady in the book of Luke, her name was not given. That's why people get mixed up with this woman and the woman in the Luke chapter 7. Now the difference between this woman and the Luke chapter 7 woman, that other woman was a sinner. And she came to thank God, and washed Jesus' feet with her tears and wipe it out with her hair and anoint Jesus' feet and with a perfume and kissed his feet. Now, why people thinking this same woman is there? Because when we were reading in the John, the lady comes and she also pours precious oil on his feet and wipe it out with her hair. That's the reason people are thinking this is the same woman. When we are reading here in Mark chapter 14, this thing happened in Bethany. And it says, in Bethany, Lazarus lived, Mary and Martha lived. And here we see this woman comes in Simon the leper's house. And Luke, that woman, she came the Pharisee's house. And his name also was Simon. That's why people are thinking that Pharisee's name was Simon. And this man's name is Simon. And so this lady has to be the same. But she is not the same, because Pharisee said, if this was a prophet, he would know that this lady is touching his feet. But in this chapter, no Pharisee is saying this. This person, his name is Simon, and his last name might be leper. Or we don't know he was a leper and got healed. But here we see this lady comes to his house. But let's go to the Matthew chapter 26 and start reading from verse 6.
Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head, and he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste?
Matthew chapter 26, when this lady comes and pours the oil on Jesus' head, and in Matthew he says, Matthew 26, 8, disciples were saying, Why are you wasting this perfume? But in the Mark chapter 14, verse 4, we read that some people said. Now some people will say, but the Matthew says disciples, and here Mark says some people. But if you read in a John chapter 12, verse 4, he says his disciple Jude said this. Now from this, some people might say the Bible is teaching differently, but each and every writer writes something, but it's not wrong, because when the Matthew says disciples, Mark says some people, that means some people with disciples together, they said it. But the John says clearly, the disciples we are talking about, not all disciples, even though they said it, but the Judah is the one who was saying that this is wasting money. Now, when we read it in the book of Mark, chapter 14, verse 5, we'll read that they said this perfume should have been sold for 300 pence. In the same way, John chapter 12, verse 5, he says this perfume would have sold for 300 pence. But Matthew doesn't say that. So the point I'm making, this story is not the same like a Luke story. Lady's name is not given in Matthew, and her name is not given in Mark. But this person is very dedicated person. This person is not a sinner like Luke chapter 7. This person is very knowledgeable about Jesus Christ. Go to the book of John and let's start reading from verse 1.
Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead.
Now in this chapter, we do not see the person's name, Simon the leper. We read the Simon the leper's name, Mark and Matthew. But in John, his name is not given. That's why some people get confused with the Luke story. But here we see, here says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where the Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. That means he's saying he comes where the Lazarus used to live. Now here he's saying, in this place, supper or the dinner party was. Let's read the verse 2.
There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him.
Now see, here he's saying, in Bethany, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus used to live. So now here he says that Martha served. Now Martha also invited Jesus Christ. That's a different story. And she comes and says, Jesus, Mary is sitting at your feet, and I'm working hard. Why don't you tell her to come and help me? Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're worried about so many things. But Mary had chosen the best part, and nobody can take it from her. That means that time, the Martha was cooking, and Mary and Martha were together. Now here, Jesus goes to the Simon's leper's house, and Martha is serving. So we do not know the Simon the leper is Martha's father, or Simon the leper is Martha's husband. We do not know. And Martha maybe invited Lazarus, and she was having a party. And here the, just like Matthew and Mark says, all of a sudden the woman comes when she saw Jesus Christ at the dinner. Maybe the dinner was over, and she comes and anoint him, pour the oil on his head. That's what we read in Matthew and Mark. But here this lady comes. Now John writes a little bit differently. Let's read the verse 3.
Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment.
Now here we see, her name is given in John's Gospel, and her name is Mary. Now many people get mixed up with this Mary and Mary Magdalene. Now the Mary Magdalene is not the same. This Mary is the sister of Lazarus and sister of Martha, because now she's in Martha's house. Martha is preparing the food. Lazarus is already their guest, and Mary is coming and pouring the oil on his feet. But actually, when we read it in Mark and Matthew, she poured the oil on his head. Now the other lady in the book of Luke, she poured the oil on his feet, and here in John says she poured the oil on his feet. That's why people get confused, because here it says feet, and Luke says she poured it on his feet. But when you read in Mark and Matthew, or Matthew and Mark, says this perfume was not ordinary perfume. Not only that, this was not a small bottle. He says a jar. And some other Bible I read, it's a pint. So jar or pint is a lot of perfume. So now, when the Matthew and Mark says, she anointed his head. So she took this jar, very costly perfume, and we read that they said this perfume would have been sold for 300 pence, Mark said, and John also said. So this perfume is very costly. When you say 300 pence, in another Bible I was reading, they said this is worth like a 1 year's wages. That 300 pence you can live for 1 year, you can buy your food and everything. Now, if you see, when Jesus Christ said to Philip in the John's Gospel story, that he said, you know, we need to feed these people, so we need some food. So Philip says, you know, even though if he would have given 200 pence money to buy food, it will be very little for these people. So I was thinking 200 pence can feed 5,000 to 20,000 people. Some people say this is 1 year's wages. So it is a lot of expensive perfume. It's not a little bit. It's a very big jar of perfume. And the word of God said, Jesus said, she was saving this for my burial. Matthew and Mark both says, and she poured it on his head. So you can see a jar of perfume, if you pour it on somebody's head, is going to go up to his feet. So whole body was drenched with this perfume. But the John says, Mary comes and starts wiping his feet with her hair. That means that perfume came up to the feet, and she was cleaning his feet with her hair. But actually, John did not say that she poured it on his head. But I'm sure this lady and other lady, Matthew and Mark, is the same. Matthew, Mark did not give the name, but the John gives the name. But we know Martha invited these people, and Lazarus is there, Mary is there, and the perfume is poured from his head, and now that coming to his feet. So can you imagine whole jar, if you put it on somebody's body, and this is very costly, this is very precious, very smelly, so whole house was filled with this perfume. I was thinking, this lady, now we know her name, Mary, was saving this perfume for Jesus' burial. Matthew chapter 26 and the following chapter is crucifixion. Mark chapter 14 and following chapter 15 is crucifixion. So Matthew and Mark give this story at the end of the Lord Jesus' ministry. So they were saying, and we read in John chapter 12, this was almost 1 week before the Passover. And you know the Passover, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. So a week early, Mary brings these perfumes and poured on his head. And it came up to his feet, and then she wiped it out with her hair. But here doesn't say that Mary was kissing his feet. From that we know the book of Luke story, that lady was kissing her feet, and Jesus Christ said to the Simon, this lady is kissing my feet since I came in. So this is not the same lady, like Mary only wiped out his feet with her hair, but she was not kissing his feet. So from that we know this is two different people. Okay, now let's read the verse 4. John chapter 12, verse 4.
Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him?
Verse 5.
Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?
Matthew chapter 26, verse 8, it says disciples murmur. Mark chapter 4, it says some people murmur. But here it says the disciple who murmured was Judas. That means all people murmured, all other disciples murmured, but the Judas is the only one maybe more fighting about this. Another Bible I read, it says they were very harsh on this lady. You can imagine Mary is the loving girl listening to Jesus Christ, sitting at his feet, didn't care about food or anything. And this is the lady now coming and anointing his head to his feet and wiping off his feet with her hair. And here people are accusing her. She did not bother anybody. She did not say anything to anyone. She spent her own money. But other people start accusing her. Some disciple accuse her. But the Judah is the most. And why Judah was doing this, the word of God is saying in this same chapter, because he was keeping the treasury box. He was the treasurer. If anyone gives money, he will put it in his box. So he had the money box. So now he is saying, why did you waste this perfume? We would have sold this perfume for 300 pence. He knows the value of the money. So he says 300 pence is a lot of money. 1 year's wages, or you can feed 20,000 people with it. It's a very expensive oil. Why did you waste it? Let's read the verse 6.
This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein.
Now see, here he's saying he was not concerned about the poor people. He was concerned about himself. And here he says he was a thief. Somebody will say, why Jesus Christ got this thief as his treasurer? Just like there is a saying, you cannot keep the fox watching your hens. If you keep the fox watching your hens, he will eat all your chickens. So here he's saying this man was a thief, carrying the box, putting the money in that box. He didn't care about the poor people, and he was a thief. So you see, Jesus Christ called this man as an apostle. There were so many other disciples. Matthew chapter 10, we see 12 disciples. Luke chapter 10, we see 70 disciples. But Matthew says these 12 disciples were chosen from other disciples. So Jesus Christ had many disciples. There were some secret disciples, and they were following. Now somebody will say, when you say apostles, they were chosen from other people, and Judah was one of the apostles. Now somebody will say, Jesus didn't know this person is a thief. Jesus didn't know this person is a greedy. Jesus didn't know this person is not honest. Why he kept him in his apostleships? And not only that, he's giving him the treasurer's job. From this you know how Jesus loves everyone. Jesus gives chance to everyone to come to him. But some people will come and betray him, means they will be backslidden. And some people give their life for Jesus Christ. Now the Mary, we don't know she was a secret disciples or what, but we know she was a Bible student. She always studied the word, always stayed with Jesus Christ, listening to his words. And now she was not afraid to come and anoint his head and hold his body and up to his feet. And she was not ashamed to open her hair and wipe his feet with her hair. So we see from this, I see this family is very rich family, because many people were invited in this party. And many people, that's why some of the people start getting angry why this perfume was wasted like this. But Mary came to know, Jesus Christ said, this lady was saving this perfume for my burial. Matthew and Mark says very plainly, this lady was saving this perfume for the burial of Jesus Christ. She didn't know what she was doing, but God inspired her to do these things. Jesus Christ was saying to his disciples many times, these Pharisees, they will kill me. I will die on the cross of Calvary, and I will rise again third day. All these stories he told these people. But those people, even they forgot when Jesus Christ was buried. But this lady, she didn't know what she was doing. But she poured this oil on the Jesus' head. And when the people start accusing her, Jesus says, you don't know what you're doing. This lady has done a good work. Another Bible I read, she did a beautiful work. That means she said she did the great work, that this, she did it for my burial. Now, how does she know that this she was doing for burial? Only Jesus knew. Jesus said to other people, because one of these days, I'm going to die for you, and they will be my burial. So now this perfume 300 pins perfume is poured on his body, and he is saying, this is done for my burial. So Jesus Christ knew he's going to die within a week. And this perfume was so costly, not only that, it's very precious, and that smell was filling the whole house. When you put that perfume on Jesus' body with the cloth and everything, I believe that smell is not going to go away within a week. Even though you take a shower for 6 days, still that smell will be there. So Jesus Christ recognized that this is my time for burial. And so other people didn't understand, but he was telling these people, leave her alone because she is doing for my burial. Let's read the verse 7.
Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this.
Now he's saying she kept this thing for my burial. Jesus Christ was with the disciples 3.5 years. We do not know when Mary came to know about Jesus Christ. But we saw a couple of times. Mary invited Jesus Christ in her house, and she was sitting with him at his feet and studying the Bible. And one time we know Lazarus died. Jesus Christ came 4 days later and raised the Lazarus. So she knew what Jesus Christ has done for her and her family. So she was saving this perfume for many days. Jesus Christ is saying, she was keeping this for me, for my burial for a long time. And the verse 8 says, let's read the verse 8.
For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye not have always.
Now here he's saying, the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Now when you read this, some people might be thinking, where is he going? Or he already said for burial. That means he said he's going to die and he will be not with us again. Because he said poor will be with you all the time. Jesus died. Third day he was risen. And then 40 days later, he went to heaven. Since that time, Jesus is not with us in bodily form. But we see poor all the time. So he says, you will have a chance. If you want to help poor, they will be with you all the time. They will be with us until the end of the age. There are people trying to get rid of poverty, but it's not working. Because Jesus said, poor will be with you all the time. So his word is true. Every country try to help their citizens, and they want everyone to be well, means not poor or beggars. Even the India, they don't want people begging on the street. But still, people are poor everywhere. America is richest country. But still, in America, there are people homeless, people on the street. Some of the people are begging for money and food. So what Jesus Christ said 2,000 years ago is true. Jesus Christ didn't say, hey, let all these perfumes be used for me and don't ever help poor. He didn't say that. He said poor will be with you all the time. So you can help them. This is only one time, one day, she used this money and this perfume for me. And she did it for my burial. But the poor people will be with you. That means he did not say, don't help poor. He always said, help poor and needy. And he said, when you're inviting somebody for dinner, don't invite rich people and famous people. go on the street and look for the blind and lame and beggars, and then you feed them, because they will be not able to invite you to their house. So those are the people you should be helping. That's Jesus' teaching. So Jesus was not against poor people. He always said, help poor and needy. So here the Jesus Christ is saying, I'm not going to be always with you. That doesn't mean Jesus Christ is not here. Jesus Christ says, I'm not going to leave you. I will not forsake you until the end of the age. I'll be with you all the time. He is not physically with us, but he is spiritually with us. You remember Jesus Christ said, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to go to my Father, but I will send you the Holy Spirit, a helper. He will teach you, guide you, and he will remind you what I taught, and he will take you in all truth. And so he was talking about the Holy Spirit. Many people got mixed up, and they start thinking, Jesus Christ was thinking, I'm going to come back, and the helper is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the spiritual helper, but Jesus Christ was not saying that particular time. He said in two different ways. First of all, he says, I will not keep you orphan. I will come back. And when I come back, only you will know me, so you will recognize me. And then Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14, verse 23, he says, I will bring my Father with me, and my Father and myself, we will make a home in you. That's John chapter 14, verse 23. From that we know Jesus Christ says, I'll be with you all the time. But here he says, I will not be with you all the time. What he is saying? He is saying in bodily form, you will not see me all the time on earth. Sometimes Jesus appears to somebody, but he disappears. Nobody up to now I saw that they were sitting with Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ stayed in their house overnight or something like that. Even though he was risen and 40 days he was on this earth, but there is not a single scripture saying he lived in Mary's house or Martha's house or John's house or Peter's house or anybody's house. He was daytime with the people, nighttime he was with his Father. He never sat with somebody the nighttime. So when he's saying, I will not be always with you, he's talking about the bodily form. By spirit, Jesus Christ is with us every day. And we can see and can feel the presence of God in our life. But at that time, Jesus Christ says, poor will be with you, but I'm not going to be with you always. Okay, let's read the verse 9.
Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead.
Here he's saying many people were there. They came to see the Lazarus. Some people came to see Jesus, but some people came to see Lazarus because they know that Lazarus is alive. And because of Lazarus, many people are coming and believing Jesus Christ and following Jesus Christ. And so they thought, we are going to kill Jesus, but at the same time, we want to kill Lazarus also. You can see, Pharisees, they are godly people, they know the Bible, but at the same time, the Bible says, do not murder, do not kill. They know the law, but this time they are completely blinded. They don't care about the law, they care about themselves, because nobody was listening to them. Everybody is following Jesus Christ. And Lazarus, many people want to see. And people come and they see the Lazarus. And they believed Jesus Christ and became his followers. That's why these people, Pharisees, they were very jealous. Jealous about Jesus Christ, jealous about his ministry, and they wanted to kill him, they wanted to destroy him. And so let's read the verse 11.
Because by that reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus.
So here the word of God is saying, many people came and believed Jesus Christ because of Lazarus. Lazarus, we didn't see Lazarus anywhere preaching. We didn't see Lazarus anywhere having meeting or anything. But just looking at him, they know that miracle was happened and people were coming to see Lazarus, so they wanted to destroy Lazarus. Now in this book, John chapter 12, doesn't say anything more about the Mary, what kind of service she did to Jesus Christ. But if you read in a book of Matthew, as well as book of Mark, we read that Jesus Christ says, this lady did this great work, and her story. Please read the Mark chapter 14,
Mark 14,
verses 8 and 9.
She has done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her.
See, John did not say this, but the Matthew and Mark says, what this lady has done for Christ, wherever the gospel will be preached, they will be talking about this Mary and what service she gave to the Lord Jesus Christ, and this will be spoken for her memorial. That means whatever you do for Christ, when you do signs and wonders and miracles in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus' name's glorified, but at the same time, your name also glorified. You remember what we learned in Psalm 37? He said, delight in the Lord, and he will give the desires of your heart. And then he says, when you delight in the Lord and he gives the desires of your heart, means you get all the blessings, and then your righteousness will shine like a noonday. That means whatever you do for the Lord, God will bless you. And when God blesses you, other people will see it. This lady had all this money saved and poured all this oil from it on the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and she served and ministered to him. Many other people start accusing her, but she didn't care. Jesus Christ is saying, leave her alone. What she has done for my burial, and she was saving all this perfume for my burial, and now what she has done, a beautiful work, a good work for me, for my burial, but her name or her ministry, people are not going to forget. Wherever the gospel will be preached, they will be talking about her memorial, her memory, because she did a great thing for Jesus Christ. So the word of God says, whatever you do for the Lord, it is not going to go in vain, or your labor in the Lord is not in vain, it will be remembered. Whatever you do for the Lord, he says, if you give a glass of water to my servant, you will not lose your reward. So God always watches over us. Whatever you do for the Lord, some people might have money, they give money for the ministry, and some people are poor, they don't have money. They can come to church and say, can I clean the bathroom? Can I sweep? Can I do some service to the Lord? So the different people do different way. But the God remembers their labor and gives them reward accordingly. Our labors in the Lord is not in vain. Sometime when you're doing the service to the Lord, it's always not you're going to be glorified. You will be spit upon, or somebody can fight with you. They might beat you up. All kinds of abuse you can take for Jesus Christ. But if you really love the Lord, and if you do from your heart, you will have your reward in heaven. This lady just gave the 300 pence perfume, but that's not only perfume. There are so many people have the perfume, but they keep it for themselves. They do the perfume business. But this lady says, I'm not going to keep this and sell it and live for 1 year or couple of years with this perfume's money. I wanted to give it to Jesus Christ. And when she was doing this, she didn't know what she was doing. But Jesus said she kept this perfume just for my burial. She anointed my whole body, not only head, whole body, and my body is prepared for burial. So Jesus Christ, notice what you do for him. Whatever you do, the word of God says, do it for the glory of God. If you preaching, if you helping somebody, whatever the job you do for the Lord, you do it from your heart and you will get your blessing. I just wanted to point it out. Some people are getting mixed up with a lady in the Luke chapter 7 and this lady. But Luke never gave the name, but we know her name now. Her name is Mary. And don't get mixed up with this Mary and Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene's story is different. Mary Magdalene has 7 demons, but not in this chapter, or Matthew or Mark or John. Nowhere said this lady had the 7 demons and say how much she loves me and she is pouring this perfume for my burial. Never said that. Means that Mary is different. Her name is Mary Magdalene. This Mary is known for Mary, Martha's sister, or Mary, Lazarus' sister. So we don't get mixed up with these two different stories. The point I'm making, when we are reading the Bible, we have to read the Bible and study the Bible properly. Don't take somebody's story and start preaching. You have to search the Bible, search the passages, match the passages, and then you know what you're saying. Now, some people, what they do, if their leader or their pastor preach one sermon, and whatever he says, they copy his sermon and preach. Many, many people making mistakes like that. But we learned there was a place in Berea. Paul was preaching, and these Berean people were taking notes, and they go home and just check the Bible. What the Paul was saying is true. Even the Bible says if somebody prophesied, you have to check it if that prophecy is according to the Bible. Is this a false prophet? Is he telling the truth? So God has told us when we study the Bible, we have to figure it out, the stories and everything, and clearly teach and preach. That's why I'm trying to say what Bible teaches, even though everything is not written chronologically. If you remember last time, we learned about the story about the lady put the mites, and Jesus says next day, following day, she went to her town. Nowhere written that same lady. The lady put the mite, that's the same lady, lady had the son and died. It's not written anywhere. But if you are a Bible student, and if you're studying the Bible, God will inspire you and tell you what this is all about. When you are a servant of God or a Bible student, We had to study the scripture very well. And even the, some people will say, how do you know that person is the same person? Then I would say, you tell me how Jesus Christ understand this, but you don't. Because Jesus Christ knows everything. As I said, this lady comes and pours them perfume. She didn't know she was doing for burial. But the Jesus Christ said, listen, next week is a Passover. I'm going to die for you. And this she has done for my burial. In those days, they will be putting lots of perfume, the myrrh and all kinds of spices for the dead body. You know, when Jesus Christ died, his secret disciple, Joseph Arimathea and Nicodemus, both of them came, took the body, bought the linen cloth, and put the spices and buried. So Jesus Christ was telling these people and reminding, my burial is coming. I'm going to die for you. Many times Jesus said why he came. He came to save the mankind, and he wants to give his life for mankind, and he's going to be buried, and he will be risen for third day. When Jesus Christ risen, and if you believe that he is risen, then you will have the same kind of resurrected life. And the Bible says if you do not believe in the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then your faith will be useless. So Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples, one of these days I'm going to die for you, and I'll be buried, but I will rise again. So Jesus Christ already came, already died, already rose again. He's already in heaven, and he's coming back. But we are studying these stories, what happened when he was here. So let's pray and ask God, or ask Jesus Christ, I know you came from heaven, you died for me, you rose again, you took my sin, my sickness, my disease on the cross. Many people like Mary spend a lot of money for you, but I don't have anything. But I am going to give my heart. The word of God says Jesus doesn't want any of your sacrifice. He doesn't want your money. He needs your heart. Once you give your heart to Jesus Christ, then whatever is belong to God is belong to us. Then we have everything what Jesus has. So until then, we are poor. We don't have anything. But once you have Jesus, we have everything. So let's give our heart to Jesus Christ. You never call upon Jesus. This is your golden opportunity. You don't have money like Mary, but you have your heart. Jesus Christ wants to come into your heart. So we have to open our heart and say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Please forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Touch me, Lord, and heal me. Deliver me. Set me free so I can serve you. And then you say, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you pray this kind of prayer or similar prayer, what will happen? Jesus Christ will come into your heart. He will change you. No matter what problem you're going through, your sickness, your disease, your bad habits, your weaknesses, everything will go away. You don't have to worry, I have this bad habit, I don't know how it's going to go away. Once Jesus Christ comes in, all the devil and his activities goes away. The Bible says, once you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you invite him into your heart, you are a new creation, and the old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. So God gives you new heart, God gives you grace, and God gives you healing and prosperity and everything. Once you have Jesus, then you don't need anything. So just call upon Jesus. and you will be now be the same. I'm going to pray and ask God to bless us. Whoever heard this story, let them say, I will do like Mary. I will sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. I will listen to the word of God, and I'll give you everything to serve Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says, I will never forget you. Not only me, but whole world will see what you're doing for me, and your name will be remembered in the memory. People will be talking about you. Some people say, I don't want people talking about me. I don't want my big name. But God knows everything about you. Even though you don't ask anything, he says, I will give it to you. Sometimes he says, before you even open your mouth, I know what you need. But sometimes I will say, ask, and it shall be given unto you. It works both ways. Sometimes you didn't ask anything, and all of a sudden you get it. How did it happen? Because God knows your need. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to study the word. We do not bring anything in this world. We cannot take anything out of this world. Whatever you have given to us is all belong to you. Lord Jesus, we have nothing to give it to you. Even though we give whole world to you, that whole world is belong to you. It's nothing that we created in this world. Even though we give money, that money you gave it to us. So we do not have anything. So we give our life to you. And we pray that you use our life. Use our hands, our feet, our eyes, our body to serve others. Lord Jesus, please help us and keep us healthy so we will be able to serve you. Bless the people who are listening. Give them grace. Protect them from all the dangers and harms. And let them know their service to God is not going to go in vain. God is going to remember, and God is going to reward, not only in this world, but the world to come. So, Lord Jesus, we commit everything into your loving hand. Bless us and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and we call it done. Amen. And amen.